Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neutrolex, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Good evening, Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Chocolate Thunder.
Boom.
Thank you there, Mad Hatter. I got my one of my best friends in all the world, my brother from another mother, John Andrew Ford, in the house with me. Can you say hello to everybody? Good evening.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
Anybody you want to say good night to or introduce?
Yes, I'd like to introduce my beautiful wife, Janae. And I also want to say goodnight to my children, Cairo and Kyrie. And I want to send my son, Cairo, a special shout out because it's his fifth birthday.
His fifth birthday.
Got a big boy in the house.
Champ needs a job now.
He does need a job. He eats too much.
He does. He has to pay for it. I'm going to say goodnight to my kitten. I'm going to say goodnight to my brothers, my sister, my dad, their wives, and their family. We're glad to have them. I also want to say happy birthday to our friend, Ryan Blakely.
Birthday
is this Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, so we want to say happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Rhino.
And let's get straight into the show. You and I talked about what was on my mind earlier while we were at lunch at that restaurant.
Right.
And I won't say what restaurant it was because I wasn't that impressed. But Men United Against Violence has been around 4 years now.
Right.
And I began making notes about how much we've done this year. We're going to do a year-end review.
Right.
And we've been pretty busy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the important thing is to stay at it, you know?
And we'll get into the topic, but what about when it feels like you're not accomplishing anything?
Well, you know, we have to stay patient, right? And we also have to remain stalwart. We have to continue to do what it is that we do, regardless of whether we're seeing an immediate result of not or not, because what we're doing now may have a tremendous impact on the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take? I don't know, but I'm willing to do it for as long as it takes to make a difference.
Okay, well, you've motivated me. I wasn't thinking about quitting, but sometimes it's frustrating when you watch the news, you read police blotters about four people shot over the weekend, or young black boys flee from police, or black woman beaten. It's frustrating.
And you know, that's what the news does, though. You know, they do have a tendency to report the bad things, right? It makes you not want to watch the news sometimes. But as far as that violence is concerned, you know, It's just so tough to measure, especially in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough to measure. But we might be reaching some children. You know, we might be reaching some young men. And, you know, it's like I said, that's just difficult to measure.
And we are trying, at least. You know, we always use our billboard. Shout out to Lamar Signs and Susan Stieber. Mm-hmm. They always help us out. We did a sign in April. Your past does not determine your future.
Right.
What does that mean?
It means that anything that has happened to you doesn't necessarily affect you for the rest of your life, right? Because we have to learn to let go of negativity. We have to learn that just because we've been damaged before doesn't mean that it's going to continue to be that way from now on, right? things can change.
If you're hungry,
get better.
If you're poor,
right.
If your home is unpleasant.
And all of those things can change, and we have a lot to do with our own outcomes, right? Like you said, maybe we grew up poor, but that doesn't mean that we'll be poor forever. We may have grown up in a violent environment, but that doesn't mean that we have to be violent.
So there's a solution to every problem if we're willing to hang in there and listen to wise people and search it.
Absolutely. There's always a way. There's always a way.
Okay. And in April, we named Sean Sullivan Man of the Year. He hosts right. Midday Mobile. We also did in May, my radio show launched.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes forget. It feels like it was such a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been on about four times, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
This platform, is getting the word out like this a good idea?
It certainly is.
Aren't we preaching to the choir, though? Don't these listeners that listen to me already know what we're saying?
They do, and I believe for a large part, maybe we are preaching to the choir, but maybe we can also motivate them to actually join in and help out with, you know, continuing the fight, right? If we can motivate someone to join, we can't have too many helpers. We can't have too many people who are engaged in trying to make a difference.
Right, because I think the Bible says that there are plenty of crops, there just aren't enough sowers.
That's right.
So I was named in June Man of the Year at Tomaville Warren United Methodist Church as a member of Men United Against Violence. It's always nice. We don't do it for the gratitude, do we?
No.
We don't do it for the gratitude, although it's nice when you are acknowledged.
Right.
It's always nice when you are. But that was a pleasant surprise. And then also in June, well, we've got another 3 minutes. We'll just talk about these things that we've done. But we can't do it without people like Brian Overstreet, who sends $75 a month to try and help us get our billboards or whatever we're trying to do. I had a conversation with Brother Samuel J. Wood. Out of nowhere, he sent me a text message. Hey, Bro Young, how are you? And God must have moved his spirit to me just reading, looking at the news, knowing our profession, what we know behind the scenes. And I was just sitting there shaking my head. It's like, what's the point?
We've got to keep fighting. We've got to keep doing what we're doing. And the reason is we can't give up, because if we do quit, then what's the future look like? Right. Mm. If people sit back and they don't say anything, then there's no hope there. Right. We have to continue to do what it is that we're doing. Don't give up. Never give up. Keep fighting.
You know, Brother Woods said John 10:10 tells that the thief only shows up to kill, steal, and destroy. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we did.
At lunch. And that's the message. Because our approach is from a spiritual standpoint of changing the heart.
Right.
We don't believe a law will change a person's heart.
And it won't. And it won't. You know, we make all sorts of laws for all sorts of different things. And if it's not in a person's heart to follow the law, they're just going to break it. They're not going to listen to that. And so we can make as much of a law as we want to make, right? It's got to be the person that decides that they're going to do the right thing and they're not going to violate the law. It's got to be in the heart. That's where the change comes.
And sometimes it's tough love telling people what they need to hear.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in talking to some people are going to be receptive, right? Some people are going to reject what we say. But what happens when we reach just one person? That makes a big difference. That makes a big difference. So we have to continue to work, continue to get the message out there, continue to try to reach the people that need to hear it. You know, the people that are living the lifestyle that they may not necessarily need to live. Well, we need to keep saying so. And, you know, maybe God will touch their hearts and make a change in them.
Right. So that's the same thing that Samuel Woodrow would say to me. You know, Don't disparage your wife.
That's right.
If we get one, at least we've done that. So we're going to come up on our first break. We're coming back to the Man United Against Violence Year in Review. I have my best friend, one of my best friends in all the world, John Andrew Ford, and his bodyguard in studio. So we'll be right back after 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Good evening, guys. Welcome back to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I have my good friend and cohort in the Men United Against Violence, John Ford, here. And we're just doing a year in review. We know it's not the end of the year, but we wanted to go over some things and talk about that we've done this year. We made it all the way to June. Let me stop. Don't get ahead of myself because I got to pay the bills. I got an invoice today from a lady that works here, and she wants her money. So let me give a shout out to Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn at 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-4653 or 251-479-4653. Gold. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are all there to help you with your needs. I recently bought another firearm from them, the M&P Bodyguard 380. It is a great gun. They have plenty more in stock. They have a very knowledgeable staff. They'll hook you up with the handgun that fits you best. But they also have power tools. They have jewelry, gold coins, appliances, TVs. They sold a wooden workbench the other day. So go in and see them. Yes, JJ still loves hugs, and Braxton still loves having his beard braided. Stop in and tell Mr. Mobile. Stop in and tell them you saw Mr. Mobile, and he told them to come see them. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about. Now, you got to pay the bills, though. So in July, we did a walkthrough on Cherokee Street.
Right.
Why did we do that?
Well, so there had recently been a homicide that had taken place at the park. It was Rickerby Park right mm-hmm. there between Rickerby Street and Cherokee Street. Because that took place and there's a lot of young men in that neighborhood, we decided to get out and go and speak with them about, you know, that sort of lifestyle and, you know, and just to see what it is that they might think could help. What could we do to help them improve that situation?
So you weren't preaching?
No. We actually did a lot of listening.
What were some of the thugs you had?
So we actually went up to a house there on Rickerby Street, and there was several young men there, and they had the idea that they wanted to see increased patrols. They wanted to see they felt like fatherhood was also important. That was one of the things that they mentioned, that they wanted to see, you know, more men setting examples for young men, right? They also talked about education, even though they talked about sports, right? So they gave a lot of different answers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Were you surprised at some of these answers? Because this doesn't sound like what you hear on television. Because we're told we need more money and more opportunity and more handouts.
No, well, you know, the funny thing about it is that they didn't you know, ask for anything like that. No, that's not what they wanted. They said really they needed guidance, right? More examples, more men at home. They also said that they wanted to see actually increase police presence, right? They said this is what they told us, right? I remember them saying that the only time they see the police is if it's, you know, a specialized unit, mm-hmm. right? But they said that they wanted to see, you know, just more regular patrolmen riding through, you know, because that makes them feel safer, right? And as far as education was concerned, I can remember some of them saying that they didn't necessarily do what they needed to do in school, but you know, now that they're out, they understand the importance of it, and they wish that they'd had someone in their household to tell them the importance of it before they actually graduated.
Right.
Right. So those were things that they just weren't aware of because they said that they didn't have that guidance in their household.
I have to say, describe these young men, because what you're describing is not what people often hear in media. Were these Hispanic kids, white kids?
They were young black males. They were between the ages of 19 and maybe 22. They were all pretty young.
Yeah. So we were busy in June. We stood with Representative Matt Simpson and Sheriff Hossmack, Anthony Lowry, Sheriff Paul Birch, District Attorney Keith Blackwood, and about the House Bill 20. This bill addressed public shootings and broadened law enforcement's ability to charge capital murder to those who commit murder and endanger the lives of multiple people. And this is after the shooting at the Sanger.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
Here's the part of legislation that punishes bad behavior, criminal violent behavior. How does that fit into correcting it? We're talking about, you and I talk about families and homes, but there must be consequences to violent action, right?
Right. And, you know, so the first thing that we want to do is preventative maintenance, right? If we can do something on the front end to prevent someone from even finding themselves in a situation where they're in trouble with the law, that's what we would want to do ideally, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we find ourselves in a situation where, let's say, someone did commit a crime, right? There's going to be consequences for that action, okay? Mm-hmm. So maybe they do need to be punished. But as a person is being punished, the idea is to focus on changing that individual so they don't become a recidivist, right? We don't want to see them back in the same situation. And unfortunately, what we see in our days is crime and punishment, mm-hmm. crime and punishment, but there isn't much rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a focus on the front end of preventative maintenance, and then there's not a focus of rehabilitation on the back end. So all we're seeing is crime, go to jail, crime,
they
go to jail.
They call it a revolving crime. Door,
and
I think.
And it stays there, right?
So we also, in the same month, went to Ruff Wilson Youth Organization in Daphne. We went there twice in that month to speak to, first, the kids. And these kids were between 4 and 14, but they were the most respectful, responsive, listening, interactive kids. They loved everything I had to say until I said, I don't like dogs. You heard gasps go through the room when I said, I don't like dogs. And I tried to tell them I have allergies.
Man's best friend? I mean, come on.
One of the little girls passed out. They could not believe I said, I don't like dogs, but they were very attentive. They asked questions. Yeah, they were very tense, very polite, very sweet. So we went there twice in June, talked to the kids, and then we talked to parents.
Right.
And it's always fascinating when I encourage family that I offend someone.
Right.
How can you be offended at a black man telling black men to get married before you have children? What's offensive about that?
There is nothing offensive about that, but, you know— unfortunately, we live in a time where the family unit has been under attack,
mm-hmm.
right? We have people who want to say that the nuclear family isn't the only way to have a family,
mm-hmm.
or isn't the most successful model. Well, I haven't seen any evidence that anything works better than mom, dad, children.
Right. We spoke at the Men's Leadership Conference also that month. It was an entire week they had it, but we went one day and spoke to the group. Then I took some blood pressure medicine that swole me up like a cantaloupe.
I remember that. Yeah. That was not pleasant.
It was not. We're going to finish the segment with, I think, our most important campaign this year, FEED. Family, Education, Employment, and Discipline. And that was your idea. I don't know if you remember it.
I remember.
Yeah. And we talked about the emphasis on family marrying before you have children. You just talked about that. Education, right. at least graduating high school. At least graduating high school. Then finding a job to support and provide for your family. And the discipline to do that every day. Why'd you come up with that? What was that all about?
Well, it is a basic model for the way that you can generate success for yourself overall. Okay, your family. If you have a family that is in your life, you're not going to want to embarrass that family. You're not going to want to do anything that would hurt that family, right? And so they help keep you grounded. Education takes you a long way. Once you graduate high school, you could go on to college, but you can also educate yourself. You can take the time to focus on teaching yourself things, right? Do training on your own. That helps you generate success. Employment. Once again, the education leads right into the employment, and having a job, obviously a career, helps people get along, and the discipline to just repeat the cycle.
We're coming up on our break. We're going to come back and talk about that one a little bit more, because I think that was one of our most popular campaigns,
right,
that people really got behind. So we're coming up on our second break, doing our yearly wrap up, Men United Against Violence. I got John Fast Forward in the house with me. We'll be right back. You know, our off-air conversations are some of the best that cannot be aired. But I want to remind everyone, we have a text and phone line, 251-343-0106. Bobby P., thank you for listening. You can come back anytime. But we were following up on family, education, employment, and discipline. Statistically, we know that children with both parents in the home, historically and statistically, have a higher probability of not carrying a gun, dropping out of school, getting pregnant. We know these things.
Right.
Where in the world? Why? How did we stop preaching that as common sense?
Somewhere along the line, alternatives to that started to come in and take the place of what we would call, you know, the nuclear family, right? Of course, we know that when the father is in the home, boys have much more of a chance of not going to jail, right? They don't get arrested. They don't go to prison, right? Because they've grown up with the discipline that a father will provide them, right? And it's the same with, like you said, high school. There's much larger rates of dropouts among males, especially young black males, that just don't finish high school, right? Well, one way that we can change that is by having the father in the home. Like, there was no way I wasn't finishing high school. As a matter of fact, I was going to college,
right?
And which I did, and my father made sure of it. So the idea that there's alternative structures that work just as well as the nuclear family, that's just not true. Mm. And there's no evidence to support it. But right, we have a tendency to go that way.
Right. And then you touched on it. Education doesn't have to be college.
Right. It does not have to be
welding,
college,
or how to pour cement, or right, open a laundromat.
Practical skills.
Right.
Right. Practical skills. You know, my dad always told me that it was okay to have a dream or to chase something that you want to do, but you always have to set a practical goal, right? Something that will always be there that you can fall back on if all else fails, right?
Mm-hmm.
So welding, construction. Mm-hmm. Those are skills that are going to be necessary, and they'll be necessary forever.
Forever, right? And we're telling so many kids, especially young Black kids, to be an entertainer, and that includes athletics to me.
Right.
Because you're performing for people. And we have so many kids that are told at the age of 14 that how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
But each level you go up, everyone on the team is great.
Exactly. And it gets that much harder.
And the further you go, now can you read, write, and count? How coachable are you?
Right.
Character, those things all come to play.
And so what we'll see is the 1% of the 1% become famous football players.
Like
the 1% of the
1%.
Like
at the University of Alabama, or right, like the 1% of the 1%.
Or in the NFL.
Right.
Right? Or the 1% of the 1% will become Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if that's all that you have to set yourself up for success in life, what happens if you're part of that 99%?
Right. What did your dad say about discipline?
You know, so discipline is one of those things where you just have to be able to get up, self-start, and continue to put one foot in front of the other.
And that's right? At school, work, family.
That's in life, period.
Right.
That's in life, period. Put one foot in front of the other. Keep working to attain whatever goal that it is that you've set for yourself. And set a goal, achieve it. Set a goal, achieve it, right? And just continue to work to do the things that you need to do in order to create success for yourself.
That was just normal. It was taught in your house, my house, all our friends' houses.
Right.
Do we handicap kids when we give them excuses for not having self-determination? Because self-discipline is nothing more than self-control.
Correct.
If a man can control his lust, he's going to be a lot better in life. If a kid can control his temper, he's going to be a lot better in life.
Absolutely.
So where did we go, or how did I always ask you how, and I wanted your idea of how did we get to the point that being self-responsible is a negative thing or a nasty word?
You know, people have decided that not everyone is responsible for their current position, right? Some will say, oh, it was racism that caused this problem. Oh, it's because we didn't have good teachers at the school, or it's
more
a whole,
money.
Right. Oh, we needed more money to be put into this program or that or the other. When the truth is that each person is truly just responsible for their own outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. We don't need anybody to give everything to us. So we should be able to work for the things that we want, right?
Even as children, as babies,
yeah.
Teaching a child to be self-reliant and tying your shoes, making your bed.
Right.
That translates into good habits as adults. I remember my dad would hate, because I have a twin brother, and if you guys know, he's perfect. He's perfect. But, and then there's me, you know, and it made my dad so angry that I would have an excuse for why I skipped school or why I failed math, or instead of me just raising, he would have beaten me a lesser time if I just raised my hand and said, yeah, I messed up, I'm sorry.
Right.
And I need to improve. Another thing we did, I think this was in September. We went to the Kingdom Knights near the Knight Park, and I saw a bunch of young men there,
right,
that needed haircuts and a new set of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So we called up all our friends, the Levy's, the Checks, the Morrisons, the Chafees, and oh, what can I say about Bishop Wesley Davis? What can we say about him at Nazarene?
Great guy.
Oh, goodness.
One of the best.
And they donated money, and we bought every child on the list. I think we had 16 kids, and bought them all a new set of clothes. Because boys, when you have a new set of clothes, you feel good. Remember the first time you put on a tuxedo?
Yeah.
And you were, every
sharp.
Girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man. Ain't that right?
Uh-huh.
And so we said, if these kids get a brand new set of clothes and a new haircut, then they would walk with their back straight and their chin up.
Build self-esteem, right?
And that was our focus, and ours is always self-determination. And those a lot of kids didn't participate. A lot of kids didn't show up. About five kids didn't show up. And we had some barbers set up, and none of the barbers showed up. So that was six barbers. And so I couldn't hold that against them. You're okay. You don't need a barber.
No, I was just thinking. You know, there's. You know, sometimes there are people that are reliable, and I knew somebody who would have been reliable.
Right. We talked about that. We'll do it next time. But none of them showed up. So I said, well, I won't penalize the kids because the barbers didn't show up.
Right.
But I told them. I didn't know haircuts were $20, by the way. I haven't had a haircut.
Haircuts are $40.
Yep. Yeah. See, I haven't had one in 40 years. You know? I got the convertible. But and so I said I won't hold it against them. But whoever wants a haircut, you get your clothes for coming, and I'll give you a haircut, give money for a haircut. And most of them turned down the haircut money, and I was so disappointed. It was bad enough that some kids didn't show up, but then those that showed up didn't want to be neat.
Right.
It shocked me, and it let me down. Why was I let down?
Well, these are young men who want to follow the trends, right? Is a all-around fade as popular nowadays as a mohawk with, you know, the beads on top?
But once upon a time when a black kid was called nappy-headed, it was an insult.
It did used to be.
It was an insult. It means your family didn't care about you. You were filthy. Now they're paying $40 to have their hair lined up around uncombed hair.
Right, right. And, you know, that is just the trend of the day, right? And they would rather, I guess, look cool than look clean.
Just to fit in. One more, the single finger salute. This is the third time he's done it tonight. But we're going to close on that and come back with our final segment. Am I just an old man now that the boy's hair is too long and the girl's short skirts are too short? I think I've reached that point. The music's too loud.
You know, I mean, that's maturity, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. It's because you've been there and now you know better. And because you know better, you want to say better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to tell these young people, hey, man, clean your hair up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, them being young, they just want to follow the trends of the day. But I don't think that you're out of touch. You're just mature.
I never wanted to follow other people when I was young. We had a group of friends that were all completely different, but accepted the differences between ourselves.
But you know, in this day and age, following is something that they do.
All right, our final break, 251-343-0106. Call in and ask John Andrew Ford any question you want to ask, and especially about his fried chicken recipe. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is our final segment. We have about 6 minutes, roughly. We finished talking about, I was asking if I'm the old man, and you mentioned the word maturity.
Right.
All too often, I see guys my age, and I'm 54. They said once upon a time, 50 is the new 20. My knees, my arm, my elbows, my back says that isn't true.
Nope.
But then my mind tells me it isn't true because I don't want to be that type again. I don't want to be 20 again, just young and immature and no self-control and broke, by the way.
Right.
You know, driving a car without an air conditioner, you were rich all your life. You probably didn't have that problem.
Sure I was.
Yeah, sure you were. But what is wrong with growing up now?
There's nothing wrong with growing up, and that's exactly what we should do. As we get older, we have to grow out of being childish, right? We have to grow into adulthood.
When I was a child, I thought as a child, spake as a child. But when I became a man,
I put away childish things, right? And too many times we see people holding on to all of that foolishness of their youth. And this is one example that you gave, and this is something that if we look around, we can see it pretty much everywhere. We have grown men that are your age, my age. I'm 44, and we see them dressing like they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You should be setting the example for the young man.
Right.
He should be able to look up to you and see something, right? I would like to be like that man one day. Well, how is he going to look up to you when you're on his level,
right,
doing everything that he does?
You remember putting on your dad's
suit,
right?
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It fits. No, your arms are this long, son. Look at the body. You know, you really, you walk around in your dad's shoes
because
you want to grow up. When we were at Publix today, did you see that 80-year-old man wearing a pair of Jordans?
Oh, my gosh.
You missed that.
I missed it.
He was pommel. He could barely pick him up and put him down. But that's an example. Why do I see all this foolishness? Why do I always see the worst? Whenever we go eat or something, people always come up to me and say something.
Right.
Only when I'm with you.
I don't know. I'm inviting, I guess.
I guess that's going to get our eyes black one day, too.
It might.
But we're talking about maturity and growing up. So I remember when my friends, you know, I was fortunate enough to have some great friends.
Mm-hmm.
But when the guys started getting married and going to the military, I guess we were 21, 22.
Right.
Guys would go off to college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go to the burger joint and there's only three guys there. And it is a sobering thing to grow up.
Oh, yeah.
But it is inevitable.
And necessary.
My older bro Young says, when you reach the age of 25, you're as grown as you're going to be. All you will do then is grow old.
Right.
And he meant mentally. Have you developed a work ethic? Do you have a healthy habit or a healthy lifestyle? Because if you haven't built it by then, you're less likely to.
Right, right. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, conventional wisdom will tell you. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? At 25 years old, a person is still relatively young, but we start thinking like we will think as adults relatively young in our life. I mean, somewhere around 12 or 13, mm-hmm. a person is cognitively close to what they will be when they're an adult.
Right.
By the time you're 25...
Right. Those habits are already created.
You've established that.
Success by six is what they used to call it, you know, speaking and language and verbiage and willing to learn. And we see it so often with the criminal element. When Men United Against Violence, we encourage men to get back into the homes and into the lives, into the environments, and just be men.
Right. Right. You know, I had a cousin, you know, and he's deceased now. But, you know, his whole life.
Hold on, Drew. Okay. We got somebody on the caller line. Okay. Hold that thought. Who? Hey, you're on tonight with Mobile, with Mr. Mobile. Speak.
Yeah, John. Yo, Young. John, you said Young. Hey, I'm 72 years old.
Well, we're getting there. Thank you.
And that's a blessing.
That is a blessing.
But I keep going. I'm a Shriner. I dressed up as a clown for the Shrine Unit.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Here in Mobile.
Well, thank you for your call, sir. Thank you. And I wish you 72 more years.
Hey, I mean, people say I don't look 72.
I'm sure you don't,
sir. I don't act 72. And I enjoy y'all's show.
Thank you, sir. Well, tune in next Monday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Finish your thought.
The idea here, JY, is basically mature, grow up. People have to grow up, man. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't. There's no way that we can lead our youth into tomorrow if we're all behaving the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we just have to. We have to grow up.
That's another tough message that we have to put out. And I was thinking about our winter campaign. Of what it has to, and that should be part of it.
And you know, and that's a great idea. I was talking about my cousin, you know, and you know, his whole life, he was in and out of jail. in and out of jail, and he's quite a bit older than me, you know. And even though he was older than me, he would come to me and ask me for advice. And when he was about 25 years older than I was, mm-hmm. you know, but we didn't have a relationship like that, right? Because he was the one that was always looking up to me, and I'm much younger than he was. And I'm like, man, you have to do something with your life. You've got to change. You've got to quit, you know, doing the things that land you in jail, right? And do something constructive. But it was something that he just never quite figured out. And it was always, you know, mm-hmm. troubling.
Are there some people who only jail will correct? There's not enough teaching, talking, or preaching?
You know, it's the person has to be willing. The person has to be willing to change. They have to, the heart has to be pricked, and it has to change, right? If the heart doesn't change, that person won't change. And it's really just that simple.
So in conclusion, we are coming off on our final 2 minutes. We are motivated as Man United Against Violence. The work has to be done. We become frustrated, but we don't quit.
That's right. We keep on fighting, keep pushing, and we have to keep delivering that message.
Are you, speaking of fighting, you fighting anytime soon?
I was considering doing a match in December, but we'll see how that goes because I haven't signed up for it yet, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm steadily training, you know. Every day I get in there and do something. I got to stay in shape just in case I do.
That's right. That's right. So what's our final message to the Port City Patriots about Men United Against Violence, about us speaking out against violence? And we talk about people who commit crimes and victims of crime, which disproportionately are young black men.
Right.
So it's not that we're racist at all.
No.
We're just truth-sayers. And I want to make a point clear. We're nonviolent. We're not pacifists.
Correct.
So when it comes time to defend yourselves, we encourage people to do it.
Yes.
But going forward, our message must stay on point. It may stay clear and stay just as strong. We can't back up, right?
We can't take a single step back. We have to keep delivering the message that we're delivering, because like I believe that if we can change the life of one person, then we've made all the difference.
You know, in the last minute, got the single finger salute. But one isn't enough, is it?
One is enough, because we never know what kind of impact that one person may have, right? I can't say what's going to happen 2 minutes from now, tomorrow, or next week. I can't say that. But if we can change the life of one person, who knows what kind of impact that individual could have sometime in the future.
All right. We're coming up on short time. I want to say thank you to Trip Pittman, Neudrolics, Eddie's Pawn Shop, and Alabama Injury and Pain Clinic. Thank you all. Mad Hatter, you do a fine job as usual, sir.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Say goodnight.
Good night.
Say goodnight. Night. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. All right.